Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we worship you and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to meet with you this morning, to get around your word. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for this time this morning. We pray, Father God, you speak to us through your word this morning, Lord, through the preaching, through the teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Usually when I'm getting up here, I'm wanting to give a bit of a teach, getting into the Word, getting sort of dissecting this and dissecting that, getting into doctrine, that sort of thing. This morning I'm going to do it slightly differently, in so much as I'm going to try and make it maybe a bit more practical in its application for our lives. I want to be talking for maybe two, maybe three Sundays about the whole area of being a man of God more accurately, and being a woman of God. These sort of things, these sort of issues, and what the Bible has to say about such matters. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, it says this: "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. In the days in which we live, the biblical model for what constitutes a man, I would say, is under serious attack today. The traditional role of men has been turned on its head in many places, and the idea of, shall we say, a godly man is much ridiculed today. This is a major problem, major problem. I really wonder how much potential is being lost in people's lives, how many lives are being stunted, how many millions of people in this country alone are adversely affected by the absence of a proper male role model, especially a proper godly male role model. Because they're either absent, literally absent from the home, or that they are there, but they do not display the characteristics that a godly man should display in the home. I want to look at the whole area of manhood, specifically how men can be men of God today. Now, I understand that probably half of this church, if not more, are not men. And you may think, well, what's the point in me listening to a sermon about men? You know, I get enough of them at home. What do I need to hear about this? I'm not a bloke. Well, this is an extremely important issue, not only for men, but for women also. Single women, they need to know what constitutes a godly man, because they need to know who they're going to get married to. You know, if you do not know these things, it's quite likely you're going to make a mistake in life. And that's a bad mistake to make. Mothers, you need to be clear on what constitutes a godly man so you can instill those godly values in your sons, if you have sons. If you have daughters, you need to train your daughters what to look for in a future marriage partner. This is what is good in a man. Look for these qualities, these characteristics. Wives, you need to know how men tick. I know this is a great mystery. And I know you may never be able to figure out how it is that you can tell men 10 things at one time and they can only ever imagine one or two of those things at most. This is a great mystery. But time and perseverance will help you in such matters. Ask my wife. You need to be able to learn how to relate well to your wife. The church needs godly men and women and strong marriages. It just makes up the fabric of God's body. I will say, men need their wives to help them in this. Now, this is not an excuse. A man needs to decide for himself to be a man. But it really, really helps if the wife knows how to help him become a man as well. Support him. The wife is the support, the help in the marriage to the man. Now, many years ago, I have been brought up as an English person within the English culture, and I would say I have lacked this sort of upbringing as I was being brought up in the home. I didn't particularly have very strong male role models. I would say I didn't particularly know what it was to be a man of God. And I came across a ministry many years ago run by a man called Edwin Lewis Cole. He has now died, gone to be with the Lord. And some people, they may possibly criticize him because, you know, he appeared on the 700 Club, things like this. But his main ministry was a ministry to men. And that man's ministry affected me and impacted my life very, very positively. As a specific ministry to men, of raising men up to be the man of God that they are supposed to be. And he made this quote. He said, "Being male is a matter of birth, but being a man is a matter of choice." You know, we have millions of men in this country. Say 30 million men, 29, 30 million men, males. But how many men do we have in this country? How many men do we have? We have thousands of males in the church. Yet how many men do we have in the church? There is a difference. Just because you're born a male does not make you a man. Those many years I was a male. And it took me time to take on manhood. And it behoves every young boy as he grows up to make that transition from being a boy and a male to becoming a man. The scripture said, act like men. There are qualities, characteristics that define what is a man. If you have been born a male, you have the potential to become a man. You may already be a man, of course. But much of that is down to you and the choices that you make in life. Now, I would say we have a major problem in this country today, in so much as the roles of men and women have been purposely merged. We no longer have this defined roles anymore. These are considered Victorian, old-fashioned. You know, the man goes out to work, he's the breadwinner, the woman stays at home, she does looks after the children. You know, people despise these sort of roles. And we want to merge them for all sorts of different reasons. Now, personally, I haven't got a problem with women who want to go out to work. You know, I haven't got a problem with things like that. But this whole merging of the roles today, I think, is very, very unhelpful. And it has led to serious confusion in the home, in the church, in society as a whole. Now, I can understand why there has been this merging. People have reacted against sort of male chauvinism, male dominance in the past, and there's been a sort of reaction against it. And in these sort of reactions, people have a point. I understand there is a point. Historically, men have been pretty arrogant. They have been pretty male chauvinist, if we want to use that term, and they put women down over the years. They've chained them to the sink and all that sort of thing. But in reacting against such abuses, often the sinful nature takes over and you go to another extreme. We always seem to swing from one extreme to another extreme. And now what we have is almost, I would say it, an arrogance on the female side coming through in many places. We have a very militant women's lib movement. We have almost like a hatred against men. And men being men in a number of quarters. Now, I like the idea of the goalposts being moved. In a football match, you've got the goal and the whole aim and the focus of the football match is to score a goal between those two posts. But when you move those goalposts to the left somewhere, obviously your focus changes and you've got to now try and score the goal over there. Now, with what's happening today, the goalposts have been moved in society. We have, you know, had these defined roles, we have merged them so much that the goalposts have been moved so much that even a little bit coming the right way, it's not quite enough, if you see what I'm trying to say. I mean, personally speaking, if I see another movie where there's this big tough woman beating up all these weak, spineless, pitiful men, I think I'm going to vomit. Because it's almost like we are being indoctrinated and taught in society that women have to be strong, tough, you know, deal with those men and put them in their place. And men are just dumb, stupid, weak, spineless little nerds who can't handle life as long as they need a woman to help them out. And that's what we're being taught. And no wonder that men have no role model to aspire to. Nothing to look forward to, that this is what I should be as a man. If you just listen to what is going on the TV or in the media or in the magazines, you are being taught how to be emasculated as a man today. That is what you're being taught as a man. This is a problem. It's a big problem. And you may say, well, you know, men deserve it. And I suppose in ways you could say, well, sometimes we do. We really do. But this is ungodly. It's indoctrinating women that men are to be, you know, to be a successful woman, you have to be able to put men down. That's wrong. That is really wrong. And to men, it's indoctrinating us that, well, you know, you can't dare say anything or be a man because then you're just going to be looked like you're arrogant and you're male chauvinist. So don't even dare of trying to act like a man. Huge confusion today. Huge confusion. Men today are very confused as to how they are supposed to behave as men. Especially to behave as a biblical man. The Bible does say a lot about how men should be, how they should act, how they should conduct themselves in life. Now, some men have sensed this sort of control that the society is putting on them as men. And they've chosen to rebel against that. There is something in a man that won't accept being told what to do. And they rebel against that, and they go into another extreme of behaving like macho men and putting all the women down and treating them like dogs and just being full of themselves. That is another extreme, and that is a wrong reaction. We need to get what is the right reaction. Others in the church where, you know, we often talk about virtues such as humility, meekness, weakness sometimes, and these are virtues and things, the processes of life that we must go through. Often we take hold of these things and think, well, that's good. I need to be meek, I need to be weak, and I need to be humble. And what we do is we become just weak and flaccid and nothing people. And that's wrong too. There's a balance in everything. Women often seem to have a much better, almost like intrinsic understanding of what men should be. But the problem is they're often so painfully influenced by society. Reading the magazines, watching the talk shows, indoctrinating them how the modern man should be. This often shapes their way of thinking in a very bad way. Very bad way. I feel the church needs to sound a very clear call today. This is what a godly man is. This is what God expects of a man. This is what God expects with a man. And if society does not agree with that, who cares? This is what the Bible says. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let us go with what God says and not what the world says. Let us not be shaped and manipulated and molded into a worldly view of what a man should be. So I thought it might be a little bit useful, and I'm sort of introducing the subject really this morning. I thought it might be a little bit useful to look at some of the various stereotypes of men in society today. So, what should a man of God be like? Well, should he be the Godfather type figure?
I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
Because he has the power, the strength, the respect, the gravitas to make sure you accept his kind offer. Is this what a godly man should be like? What about this one?
But we won't let them take our freedom!
Heroic rebel leader. Every man loves a good action, plot, movie, character, Spartacus, William Wallace, 300 Spartans fighting against the hordes of the Persian army. It just does something to you as a man. That heroic rebel leader possessing courage to stand up against the odds, even when you are alone. Inspiration to other men. Is that what is a godly man? What about this one? Macho man. Don't push me. Rambo. Is this what is a real man? Feels no pain. Can kill a whole division of men with just his lighter and a Swiss Army knife. Is this what we should aspire to as men? Is this what we should aspire to as godly men? How about this one? Rapper man. Get rich or die trying. Get as much money as you can in whatever way you can. Treat women like dogs. Consistently boast how wonderful and great you are. Is this what constitutes a godly man? If you say yes, I'll spew you afterwards. How about this one? Modern man. Modern man. David Beckham's, your Brad Pitt's. Sensitive, touchy-feely, relatable, financially successful, but still he's a family man. Is this what a godly man should be? Then there's another one. Religious man. I just thought I'd use the one with this one. I mean, you can have the guy with his anemic looking guy and dodgy haircut to, you can have all sorts of religious men out there. You know, you can have your environmentally friendly, eco-friendly Egbert and recycle Ralph and whose mission in life is to turn off as many light bulbs and standby switches as possible to save the earth. Or possibly Alexander the Apologist, who tries to find as many people as possible to apologize to just in case he may just so happen to have offended one, or maybe his family has, or maybe his town has, or maybe his nation has, or maybe his whole species has offended someone. So just the apologist who just apologizes to everybody. Is this what a godly man should be like? Now, I was having a bit of a study going through the Bible, trying to figure out what are the biblical qualities that define a man. Because so many, we are lacking so many male role models in society. We often look at people like this and we take our lead from them. But really, as believers, we should be taking our lead from this and from the life of those who have been men in the past. For example, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I just wrote down a few biblical qualities that I would say define a man. Strength, leadership, ability to deal with adversity, challenging issues, courage, a fix-it mentality, authority, gravitas, an understanding and acceptance of who they are, respectability, an achiever, selflessness, dependability should be a pillar in the church, a rock in the home, principled. These are just some of the qualities. It's not an exhaustive list by any means. But looking at some of the men in the Bible, these are some of the attributes that they seem to have. And these are the sort of things we as men should aspire to attain in our own lives. Now, many men listening to this will probably think, do you know what? If I'm really honest, I fail in many of these areas. You know, I am not this, I am not this, and I am not this. We could all do the same. But the thing is, I believe by God's grace, you can. By God's grace, you can. If you're born a male, you have the opportunity to become a man of God. And the grace of God within you will help you do that. And we're all different. You know, the funny thing is, Some people in the church, and they realize there is a need for the ministry of men. So what they do is they usually get some big, tough, burly-looking guy who, you know, everyone's sort of like, whoo, you know. And they set him up as this big leader in the church, as, you know, the men's leader. And everyone's sort of like, whoo, you know, he's such a big, he's got to be at least 6'5" and broad as well as he's wide. And it just looks like the part. But the thing is, we're not all 6'5", burly and this and that. Sometimes we're 5'2", and sometimes we're a bit, you know, we're not that strong. But it's not what is on the outside that matters. It's what is on the inside. All these characteristics that I quoted are things that should be coming from the inner life. Should be coming from that strength within that God's Spirit will put in you. You may look sort of nerdy or weak or you know, not so impressive on the outside, but a real man of God will have those qualities on the inside. People may despise him on the outside, but when they try and mess with him, they soon realize that he's got something about himself. There's something there on the inside. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, God says this. He said, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Man was made in the image of God, in the image and likeness of God. Most men have no concept today that they have been made in the image of God himself. They certainly don't act like it, and they do not display that likeness of God in their behavior. Yet every man is made in the image and the likeness of God. Now, that's not saying that we are little gods. That's not saying that at all. But the Bible is very clear. Man is made in the image of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul says this, "For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man." Often we skirt around verses like that because it brings up all sorts of awkward questions. But it says very clearly, man is the image and glory of God. Now, when we look out at men and probably look at our own lives, we think, I'm falling far, far short. But the truth remains, man is made in the image and the glory of God. Every man has the potential to become a man of God. But most men will fail because of their decisions that they make in life. We are all the product of our culture, of our upbringing, of our family, but it is our decisions that determine our future. Two boys can grow up in the same household of an alcoholic father, for example. One of those boys will become an alcoholic. The other boy will become a teetotal campaigner against heavy drinking. Two boys in exactly the same situation, exactly the same upbringing. One will go one way, one will go the other. Why? Because we are shaped by our decisions in life. Too many people today are blaming their upbringing, what this person did to me, what that person said to me, and not taking responsibility and making decisions of their own in life and deciding and having the courage to follow those decisions. Being a male is a matter of birth. Being a man is a matter of choice. We need to make the choice. And it's not an easy choice, but it is a good choice to make. The Bible says that man is the image and glory of God. I may be the greatest footballer alive. I'm not, don't worry. But if I don't strap on my boots, start kicking a ball around, how is anyone going to know the greatness that I have? I may be the greatest musician ever to grace the theatres and concert halls of this world. Yet if I never unzip my guitar case and start strumming, who is ever going to be affected or blessed by the gifting God has put within me? In the same way, I may be a male who is, in a sense, the image and the glory of God himself. Yet if I never display those characteristics of a man of God, who will ever know and who will ever be affected by this gift of manhood that is within me? It's the same principle. If we never make the decision to become a man of God, we will never achieve anything. We will never affect anyone positively as God wants us to do. Being a male is a matter of birth. Being a man is a matter of choice. If we are made in the image of God, it behoves us to act like someone who is like God. Not in the sense that we are God, but in his character. God's standards should be our standards. His ways should be our ways. The godly man should know, have a sense and an understanding about himself that he is in a unique position in creation. Unique. He's not like the animals. We didn't come from monkeys. We are a specific order of creation. God has created us in the image and the likeness of God himself. If a man should be a man of God, he must understand that. Must know he has been made in the image and likeness of God. And that he bears a tremendous responsibility before God because of that. Tremendous responsibility. Society is telling us that we should not think of ourselves as men. That's arrogant. Therefore, many males sit there as males, and they never even realize many times the calling of God upon them to be a man of God. If you're a man here today, you are called by God to become a man of God. One who is the image and the glory of God. Question, how does this work out in life? I mean, this is a huge subject. I can't go into everything this morning. Of course, I'm just kicking things off. But how does this work out in life? If man is made in the image and the likeness of God, how does this work out in life today? There is a tendency today to mock authority figures, to mock the traditional male role model. That's sort of fashionable in society today. But I think we've got to realize that when we speak evil against a man, especially against a man of God, what are we doing? We are speaking evil against someone who is the image and glory of God. That's what we're doing. We should not do that. Not because of who they are, not because of what they do, should I say, but because they are made in the image and the likeness of God. The Bible states clearly that a wife must see to it that she respects her husband, Ephesians 5:33. Why? Because he's such a great guy, because he's so wonderful and remembers everything you do and you tell him? And no. Why? Because he's made in the image and the glory of God. Just for that one fact. Because it's almost like he represents, in some sense, he represents God. Not that he is God, if you understand what I'm trying to say. But he represents something. Why is it so easy to criticize your husband rather than to respect and honor him? Why? Because the flesh fights against the commandments of God, tries to make you to do the opposite of what the Bible says. Why is it so easy for men to give women the cold shoulder, their wives the cold shoulder, and not love them and be so cold towards them? Because the flesh reacts against the commandments of God. So easy to do the opposite of what we should be doing. Many men do not deserve respect. That is very, very clear. Often it is the very last thing they deserve. However, you should never mock or demean something that is made in the image and in the glory of God or the likeness of God himself. Speaking about him in his capacity as a man, not so much his lifestyle. Remember, Jesus spoke about the scribes and the Pharisees. And he said, I mean, he had strong words for the scribes and the Pharisees many times. But then he did say, well, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in the seat of Moses, so do what they say, i.e. respect them, because they've got a position. They've got a position, respect that position, but don't do what they do. Do what they say, but don't do what they do. Don't come against the position. Today, we see children mocking fathers, mocking their mothers, mocking fathers, even going so far as slapping them, hitting their fathers, and the fathers don't restrain them. Don't restrain them. I've heard children calling their fathers weirdo and all sorts of demeaning terms, and the fathers just laugh, play along. That's not right. That is not right. That is not a biblical model of a father, of a husband, of a man. Not at all. You see, often today we are trained that we're supposed to be on the kids' level. We're supposed to be down with the kids. We're supposed to be, you know, best buddies. Our standard is not like the standard of this world. Not at all. Adults should be addressed with respect in the church by younger children. I am Mr. Tinson to a younger child. I'm not Alex. Jim is Pastor Jim, not just Jim to a child. This is respect. This is not trying to get some hierarchical structure and we're better than them, da 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 da. It's teaching respect, something that has been lost in our generation today. Romans 13 and verse 7 says this: render to all that is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Honor to whom honor, respect to whom respect is due. Just because the world disrespects those in authority and wants us to be casual about such things does not mean that we should be also. Does not mean it at all. You see, many parents today, they're bringing up their children and they're trying to be best buddies with their kids. And it's the most wonderful thing to have that friendship with your children. But that friendship can only blossom and grow on the basis of respect for your position as a parent. So many parents I see today, they're treating their children on the same level as they are themselves. And they're making a huge mistake. Now, in the same way, I'm not trying to say that, you know, children should be seen and not heard. Not that sort of mentality. You know, it's good to have that friendship with your children, but that must be based on respect first. Once you lose that respect in the family home, you've just like lost everything. You've lost it. And the society that is growing up today has no sense. Maybe I'm generalizing a lot, but in many ways have no sense of respect to their parents, to authority figures, to anyone. And that is causing chaos in the home. Children who are talking back to parents and just think it's normal. As soon as my children would, if they would disrespect me or anything, I'd make sure I deal with that. Never, never let it go into anything else. Never. Because once you let that disrespect out, then you've lost that respect. Lost that respect. If you're a man today, you have a calling to become a man of God. Someone that can be recognized that they have been created in the image and in the likeness of God. Never let anyone disrespect you, but do all you can to gain respect from those around you by making good quality decisions. Now, this does not excuse men for just living a completely self-centered life and doing whatever they want. And they say, well, you need to respect me. A real man should never demand respect. A real man should, within himself, should expect it, but never demand it. Because he lives in a respectable manner, and it is accorded to him anyway, because of the way he lives. Do you understand the balance? Let us make good quality decisions as men. Let us aim to become men of God. The men of God need to stand up in this day and be counted. They need to be those strong people in the church, in their families, in the home, giving the lead, leading their families, leading the church in a godly way. We need the men of God in these days to stand up and be strong. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word this morning. We We pray, Lord God, that these words that we have read this morning will minister to us, Lord God, will help us in life, will give us a direction in life. We want to be your people, Lord God. We want to walk in a manner, in a way that is pleasing to you. Help us, Lord God, to do so. Help us to be biblical people, people who love your word, people who are respectable, people that you can say, yes, that is my son, that is my daughter. Help us to become true men and women of God in the hour in which we live, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.